Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Hallelujah! Are you excited to be here this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Blessed be your name, O God. Why don't you commit yourself to the hands of the Lord? Ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning, to minister to you. People come to church, they don't hear anything. I've had countless times where people say, I did not hear anything you said. Pray to God. Don't take it for granted that as you have come, you will hear. Don't take it for granted that as you have come, you will understand. Pray that the Lord will speak to you, that the Lord will give you understanding, and that your life will be affected. Your life will never be the same again. Pray. Somebody speak to the Lord this morning. Lebros ke brende. Lebros sabaraba. Bandireme ke bres ke brendes. Libaras katabalabalos ke brende. Lebros setebereme. Pray. Ask the Lord to speak to you. That you understand when the Lord speaks. You will understand when the Lord speaks. Lebros setebereme. Lebros atabaraba. Barandoromo seke brende. Lebro shetebelebe, labro skabaranda, bakabranda, liberebe sekebrede, lebo skoboro, lebro sikabara, ramama sendebelebe kabras katabaraba. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for bringing us together again as a church family. Thank you for your love and your kindness towards us, we pray. This morning you will speak to us as a father speaks to his children, and that you will change our lives forever. Thank you for blessing our fellowship and our time here together. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? And you may please be seated. Wow. God bless you. We're looking at confusion, isn't it? We are looking at confusion. We want to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. Okay. It's good to see you this morning. We have changed our service times. I hope it works for you. Make it work for you. Amen. It's now 8 to 10 o'clock. It should work for you. And then the next service starts at 11. We are taking our time. We are not in a rush. We are not in a hurry. We are building a church. We want to build a mega church for the Lord. Okay, we want to have 400. This 8 to 10 service, this place must be filled. So after the service, we'll put a count. How many were here this morning? We'll put it on the screen so that you know what is happening. Sometimes you have a few people in the church. People say, oh, the place was packed. Only to count 120. Because people are very exaggerative. People are not real. But so every Sunday morning we count, we do what we call a head count, so that we know how many people are here. So we are building a church. I said we are building a church. How many are helping to build a church? You must do your part as a church member to help build and not to destroy what God is doing here. 8 to 10 is the first service. We call it the wisdom service. I want you to come. I want you to invite. I want you to anakazo. Don't come to church alone. Stop from the habit of coming to church alone. God, the church was not made for us to come alone. How many understand what I'm trying to talk about? If you have a vehicle and you come to church alone, you are not a Christian. Oh. I'm saying that if you have a bicycle, you have a motorbike, and you come to church alone, you are not a Christian. You don't understand your purpose as a Christian. Because our purpose is to be fruitful. So you cannot come to church Sunday morning alone. Turn to the person sitting next to you. You cannot come to the church service. You cannot come to church in the morning alone. You cannot come to church alone. Oh, tell him. You cannot come to church alone. How can you come to church alone? You can't come to church alone. Amen. So if we are going to be obedient to God, we should not come to church alone. All right. The Bible says that for God, if you go to verse 32, maybe a little base, just a little base. You know what I want? Kofi, I've been with you all these years here. You don't know what I want? The Bible says that, it's very good. And the spirits of the prophets are subject. Go back to verse 30. Let's do it from verse 30. I think it's very interesting from there. I'm preaching for just a few minutes. Already my time is up. When we say 8, we took off late. So all the pastors, you have to be careful before you blow my transformer. It's 8 o'clock. We have to be here 7:45 latest. 8 is when we are starting. So 8 o'clock, we are praying. So please don't come at 8:15. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. I'll give you a little history as we go on. And he says that, for you may all prophesy one by one. You may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. You go to verse 32, and he says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And it goes on to verse 33, the verse that we're looking for, that for God is not the author. He's not the causer. He's not somebody who brings or organizes confusion, but is a God of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a chapter that discusses and clarifies prophecy and speaking in tongues. Are you with me? Up to today, there is still unclarity about speaking in tongues and prophecy. The church and the Christian world is still confused about speaking in tongues and about prophecy. It's still like that. So this chapter is the place that you must go and look for clarity. It is very, very important that your mind is clear about all the things that the Bible speaks about. There shouldn't be anything in Christianity that you are looking for clarity that you can't find in the Bible. And that's why we have a Bible, to refer to in case and in times when we are not sure of what we must do and what we must expect. That's what the Bible is there for. So you cannot go around confused and saying things and believing things that are wrong. You have to read the Bible and read it well and read it over and over again. If you do that, you'll be a very solid and grounded Christian. So when the church started, Jesus promised, in fact, it was Joel who spoke about it many, many years ago, that when it comes to the last days, Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The pouring out of the Spirit took place in Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible says, suddenly there appeared what? There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And there appeared upon their heads cloven tongues like as of fire. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So from the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was given to the church. It's a promise that Jesus and God promised the church, that the Holy Spirit will come, because never has man been without his maker. From the day that God created Adam and Eve, God has always been close to his creation. He has always been close to his children. As a father who loves his children, he has always been around his children. So God the Father Almighty was with Adam in the beginning. At a point, he left. But Jesus Christ came. He was with us. When Jesus left, he said, I am not going to leave you comfortless. I am going to send you another comforter. So when Jesus left, the Holy Ghost came. And he is with us. When he came, he has come to empower us. He has come to give us gifts and strength and things for us to live a good Christian life. Because without the Holy Ghost, you can't live the Christian life. No, so when the Holy Ghost was poured out, the people speak in tongues. Now, out of the speaking in tongues also is what we call prophecy. So prophecy is when somebody is inspired to speak as the Lord has given him utterance. People struggle with that. If you get to know it, you get to understand it, it's very, very nice. Because anytime we meet, God speaks. Apart from preaching and all of that, God also has a way of using an individual to speak to the church. So when the church in Corinth used to meet, then what happens is that as they were speaking in tongues, the people will start prophesying. Oh, that says the Lord. And everybody was prophesying at the same time. So the Apostle Paul realized that, no. This thing that you are doing, 1 Corinthians 14:33, he said, this thing that you are doing, you are bringing confusion. So he says that what is happening is that the spirit of the prophets is under the prophets. It means that you are the one who controls your spirit. And it's true. Understand? Because there are so many times God wants us to do things, we don't do them. Because we have the choice and we decide not to do it. So how come when it comes to the spiritual things, you say, I couldn't control myself. Who said you couldn't control yourself? You can control yourself in everything. So he says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For example, there was a time in Africa, in Ghana, where there were some prophets, they were saying a lot of very private stuff. I mean, they went so private that they can call a lady to the front of the church. And then before they prophesy to the lady, just to make sure that the person believes in what they are about to say, they tell them the color of the panties they are wearing. I mean, as much as maybe it's true that you've seen somebody's panty color, it's not nice to say it. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Now, what kind of God is this who's seen women's panties too? I mean, that's also another question. What kind of God is this that knows the color? Of course, God knows everything. That's not the point. God sees everything. He knows everything. But he is not interested in the color of your panties this morning in the church. So when a pastor says, come, and you go, and says, your name is Michelle, isn't it? You say, yes. You are wearing this kind of panty. Then the woman, they say, and then they prophesy to them. Oh, they believe them. They buy brand new vehicles for these prophets. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, this is the scripture that guides us, that the spirit of the prophet is subject, is under the prophet. The prophet now can decide, if you see something, you can... this thing that I saw, I don't think it's nice to say. I won't say it. Because many of us see things that we are supposed to say and we don't even say it. How much more, excuse me to say, the color of a lady's panty in the church. It's not appropriate. So it also tells you the source of the spirit. What kind of spirit is making this person see things? If it's God's spirit, why don't you see better things than people's panties? What kind of spirit is that? Are you with me? So that the church in Corinth, they were talking, everybody will prophesy. This person is prophesying. Somebody else is prophesying. Somebody else is prophesying. Somebody else is prophesying. For example, there are some churches. There are some churches. It is so called, the spirit is upon me. I've been in churches like that before. And I've pastored churches where we had to kill that. As you are preaching, somebody stands up and the person begins to sing. How many have seen that before? Yeah. Are we preaching or we are singing? I have a song. You are preaching and the person stands up. Oh, he is Lord. Shut up. It's not time to sing. It's time to preach. You see, but if you are in the church, you can say, oh, why is the pastor doing that to the lady, Candia? So, the lady, what? The spirits of the prophets. It's under, it's subject, it's in the control
of the prophets. Don't come and tell us something when we are not ready for that. Oh, if you stand and sing, you'll be disgracing the church, I tell you. We have a time we sing. When we are singing, sing. There are also some people in some churches, when we are singing one song, then they raise another song. Let me tell you, even in our Bible studies and our home cells, you have to be careful. As you are singing, then somebody else raises another song for the church to sing. Meanwhile, that person is not the person leading the service. If you are not the person leading the service, you cannot raise a song unless you are asked to. If you do that, you are bringing confusion, because you are actually making us unclear as to who is the leader. That's how you see me preach every Sunday, basically, unless I travel. Because you should not be confused who's the pastor. We are not, this thing is not, it's not political party democracy. It's not, I preach some and pastor, some preach some and pastor. No. I am the pastor here. They are my assistant. They help me. If I'm not around, then they help me. But if I'm around, I am the one preaching. It's clear. Can you imagine that you are the parent of a child? And today you feed the child, and then the neighbor tomorrow feeds the child. So today you cook, and then the child eats. And tomorrow the neighbor cooks for the child. Who is the parent? Who is the feeder of the child? Who brought the child into the world? In fact, they will say that you are a very irresponsible mother when your child begins to eat around the neighborhood. You only cook once. You say, it's only Sunday I can cook for you. Monday to Saturday, go around and be eating around. People will wonder, what kind of woman are you? What kind of parent are you? That's why I preach. So just in case you are wondering, why doesn't somebody else preach? Pastor Isan, I like Pastor Isan too. Why does he preach? Let me announce to you that I am the pastor. There shouldn't be confusion about that. There shouldn't be any confusion about that. Now, why is it important? It is important because the Christian life, for all that you even understand, is a war. The Bible calls Christianity as warfare. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons, 2 Corinthians chapter, I mean something 4, 16 or 6, somewhere there. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, warfare, I thought I gave my life to Christ and I've come to church. And it's nice, it's singing and dancing and doing things. I thought church was just coming around and feeling like, no. It is warfare. The Apostle Paul said that, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. He told Timothy, he said, fight a good fight of faith. The Bible said, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So as you come and you go, you think that it is a very nice thing to serve the Lord. It is not. And when we say warfare, let me tell black people what we mean by warfare. Because black people always have a different interpretation of things. When you tell a black Christian what a warfare is, they think that you should wake up in the night and shalabalaba. Oh God, that is warfare. No. That's just a bit. That is just a small part of warfare. Warfare is more than praying in the night. Warfare, confusion is warfare. Mr. Lambert, if there's a confusion in your home, the marriage won't work. You see, the enemy has weapons he uses. He comes, he's the devil. And he comes with bullets. He comes with arrows. He comes with grenades. And these weapons are different things. Accusation is one of them. Pretense is one of them. Confusion is one of the intimidation. You can be the, you see, that's why I'm saying that I am the pastor, so that nobody intimidates me. I don't feel intimidated at all. If I was standing here and I can't say the things I'm saying, it means Satan is working in the church. How can I be the pastor and I can't tell you that I'm the pastor? Because I'm afraid that Pastor Isan or Brother George will be offended. So let me not say it. Then it means that somebody is controlling me from the background. And control is another weapon of the devil. So even my wife and our wives as pastors, They can't control us. When it comes to the children, we can argue. When it comes to chop money, money to spend in the house, when it comes to your hair, when it comes to your shoes, I'll listen. When it comes to the church, you sit down and listen to me. I'm the pastor. God didn't call husband and wife. When God called me, he didn't call my wife too. We are not called. Two people are not called at the same time. That one too you must understand. So, oh, why you don't love your wife? It's not about love. It's about confusion and clarity. Confusion is the lack of clarity. Is he the pastor or his wife is the pastor? Who is in charge? Is it him or his wife? He's talking about, I am the one in charge. Then anytime you see that the person who is in charge is not the one in charge, then there's confusion. Because the people are wondering, who should we listen to? The wife said this, and the husband said this. I don't want to disrespect the wife, but I don't know what to do. Confusion. So it's not some demon coming. No, please, 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 please. That's why people see books like this and they don't like it. Those who pretend. So we are saying that there are some things you should know about confusion, because confusion is one of the weapons of war. Anytime something is not clear, you give the enemy the chance to do something wrong. There was something that happened during the First World War. I hear it's the French people who did that. They were fighting on a big empty space of land. Now, you know that when you have a place that is so clear, as a soldier, if you're going to walk, somebody may be somewhere, they can easily see you and shoot you. It was a big plain, kind of like a field, huge. And that's what they were trying to fight. Now, it is said that the French came up with a very wonderful, confusing tactic so that they could win the war. What they did was that they came up with an idea to, during the First World War, they used a lot of horses. Okay, there were horses in those days a lot. So they came with a system where they made horses, they disguised horses, they just used something to kind of create the figure of a horse. And then in the middle of the night, they dropped those things on the empty field like that. And the soldiers were hiding inside with their guns. So when you look at it from afar, you think it's a dead horse. But there's a soldier inside with a gun. And that's how they build momentum and did a lot of damage. If only you can be confused about your Christian life, Satan will smile. If only you can be confused. If only you can be confused. If only you can be confused about whether you're a man or a woman, that's the whole thing. If only you can be confused about whether you like to marry a man or a woman, that's the main thing. Once the confusion comes, then he comes in. As long as you are confused as to where does your help comes from, then Satan will tell, oh, it's not true. Because the moment you are in that in between, so where do I get help from? This or that? Then Satan begins to, because the Bible says God is not the one who brings confusion. It's the enemy who brings confusion. So we learned last Sunday, what did we do? We learned that confusion is what? It's a lack of clarity. Even that, isn't it? The lack of clarity. Now the second thing that we must know is that confusion is a weapon of war. Confusion is a weapon we use at war. Now what do we use confusion for when you are fighting? So we are fighting. That is why you can go to a church, and then sometimes you can even get annoyed and leave the church. It's because it's a fight. If it wasn't a fight, you don't get anything to be vexed about. If it was, oh, brotherly love, God's love, oh, why don't you all love ourselves? Is that how marriage is? Is not marriage supposed to be one of the most loving things? Do we love ourselves all the time? Don't we fight sometimes? Yes. What kind of love is it that you don't fight? So even though we are in the church, we are happy, we are together, there must be fights. There must be moments where you must feel like, should I slap her or not? How many feel like that sometimes? You want to slap some Christian sister, Christian brother? You are lucky we are in the church. Yeah. What you must do is that you should not do it. But sometimes, you know, look at her face. If only we were outside, I'm going to cough she. I'll cough she, but, you know, I'll, I'll, Sometimes. That's like those who are not able to understand what it is and control themselves, they do it. A curfew. Slap. Oh yes, if I was given the, if I had the power to slap people in the jail, I'll slap people. Oh. Hey! I will slap Sherwin several times. I mean, if I had the opportunity, it was like, okay, oh, if there was a verse like Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, every pastor can slap a church member, hey, I'll print the scripture and put it outside. That is why churches are like that. So if you don't understand it, then you will change churches quite often. Because you go to this church and there are things going on, and there's this, the people like talk, the people like looking at your dress, the people talking me name, and they have to talk your name so that you will be offended and leave. You look at something. Time and time again, Evander. For me, it's not a secret. It's not something that I don't know. I know. But it's so unfortunate how my church members, especially the young guys, don't see. It has occurred more than once that a very promising young boy in the church is taken away by a girl also in the church. As if the girl loves you. No, if you love somebody, you marry and you do a wedding. There's no confusion about that. But when a promising young boy who wants to go to Bible school all of a sudden has a girlfriend in the church, and then the boy is not coming to church anymore, don't tell me that. What is it? It's a warfare. The person, the soldier, has been knocked down. It has happened. Time, let me tell you, it's 11 years now that I've been in this business. Time and time again in this church. It's not the girls that are taken away. It's the boys rather. Of course, Satan comes as an angel of light. So you'll be confused. So the girl is in the church and she's smiling to you. Hello, brother. Hello, Brother Evander. And you see, and to us, it's like, oh, this is a church girl. It's a church girl. It's a girl in the church. So she's clean. Hey. She's a sister. So she all right. Hey. Can I give you my spiritual microscope so you can see through the sister? One of my boys who went to Bible school a few years ago, I was there when he came to the office one Sunday morning. When he entered, his face wasn't nice. So I said, what's going on? Then he started crying. And he went on his knees in my office. I said, what's happening? He said last night, he doesn't know what happened to him. 12 midnight, this girl was chatting with this girl. He doesn't know what happened. He left his house and went to go by the lady and slept with the lady in the girl's house till the morning. It was Saturday night. So that Sunday when he was coming to the office, he had left the girl's house around 5, 6 o'clock. And when he left the house, then he was wondering, where are they born? What's happening to me? So that feeling is what brought him to my office that Sunday morning. So I said, which girl is that? He mentioned a girl to me. Then he told me that the girl, he went to school together. But the girl came to this church. I think it was her second time in this church. So it's like school, and then you know how school we do things. You see school, you know, have this little puppy laugh kind of thing, right? You see somebody, you like them, and then nothing happens. Then you leave school, and then you come and meet in the church. They say, hey, you are here too. So first time in the church, then they exchange numbers, and then the attack starts. So he tells me that the girl told him, of course, the girl mentioned, and the girl has said that she has always wanted to be with him. So the second, when the girl came to church the Sunday morning, I called the girl to my office. And I said, sweetie, darling, sweetie pie, ketchup, kalaloo, pumpkin. This is the last time you come to this church. I don't want to see your ugly face in my church anymore. I said, I'm serious. If you step foot in this church here, I will let the ushers beat you up and throw you out. She thought I was joking. I drove her out of my office. I said, out of this church. Don't come back into this church again. Hey, confusion. The girl went home. Hey, went to spoil my name, the church. It was one of our church members, one of the church workers who lived in the area. Hey, Lighthouse Chapel. Hey. But you see, I had this promising young man who was on his way to Bible school, who this girl wanted to confuse. So as a shepherd who has a sheep and a wolf comes around, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a bear comes around, what do I do? So, yeah, I'll stop that, right? Yeah, behave yourself. Shania, yeah, behave yourself. Any church member who gets, you should be serious, you church workers and you shepherds, do not allow people to come around the church members. Look at how Evander is coming up so nice. If a girl begins to approach Evander, somebody should slap the girl. Because if it was a girl, Evander wouldn't be here. We get them in the disco, in Blue Iguana, wherever. Not in the church. So if you come and you do that in the church, it means your motive is very different. But you see it very innocently. So, I like he. So what are you going to do with he? You are a minor. You are a child. You are in love. Do you even know what love is? Shania, do you know what love is? You don't know. Because you walk around, your breast is big and nice. All that a guy is looking at is your breast. He doesn't care about you. Care? He doesn't even care about himself. Because women look for different things than men look for. Yeah. Men like attraction. And something that will stir us up. We get excited. Ooh, the bumsy is nice. Oh! It's just the bumsy the guy wants to touch and to hold. Not you, the individual who is... Casey, it's not you that the person laughs. Oh, no! Yeah. When he sees you walking like that, if you say, oh man, that's a nice girl. It's like he's seen a toy in a shop. He's not seen a human being. That's why, you know, it takes a long time before a man will commit. People live with men for years. They don't marry them. And that is why, as a young lady, you can't give yourself to the man because the excitement goes away. As you give yourself to him, it wasn't nice like I thought. Let me go to another one. That's it. And then you are sitting there saying, oh, he's a dog. He's a dog? He's a dog? You don't understand. That's why you're saying that. You have to hide it from the man. And as long as you can hide it, the better it is for you. And make sure that he gets handcuffed in the church right here. Then you release it. And if it's not nice, then he get locked up. He's locked up. He can't go anywhere. If you make the mistake to let him see that this one is not so nice like I saw, let me tell you, I'll promise with all my heart and my soul, he'll move on to another exciting one. Because when you dress up, and you're very attractive, you know. Natasha, your hair, your face, the way you walk. In fact, this is your short dress. It makes us wonder, can I lift it up? Can I see something? What is under the short dress? It's all exciting. That's how designers make you dress the way you dress. So that men will be attractive. But when a man is attractive to you, it's just the body. It's like sweet candy. It's like chocolate. Who eats chocolate and sleep? Chocolate is something you just take it. You're not serious when you're eating chocolate. That's why you have to be careful. Does this guy really, really loves me? Yeah. Like, does he really? Or is it because I'm a slim, tall, red girl? Yeah. Maybe that's why. But the real Hakima, he doesn't even know her to even love her. All he's seen is a slim, tall, red girl. That's all. So, I like tall, red girls. What do they do for you? What do red girls do for you that you like? It's like toffee. It's like candy. It's like a toy. The Milky Way. Snickers. Almonds. So, the enemy uses confusion. It's a weapon at war. And he uses, number one, to confuse the leader. And number two, the people who are following the leader. If you go to Numbers chapter 13, very quickly. Numbers chapter 13. Last part of Numbers chapter 13. The last two verses of Numbers chapter 13. Yeah. That's good. 32 is good. This is when the people were sent, Moses sent the people to go and spy the land. The land of Canaan. So he sent 12 spies, including Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says when they went to the land, you see, because Moses and millions of people were depending on the report from these 12 spies. So the Bible says, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Have you seen a land eating people who live on the land before? What did God tell Moses and tell the people when he was taking them out of Egypt? He said, I will take you to a land that is flowing with what? Milk and honey. Look at what somebody is saying. Now, they are just about to get to the place. But for confirmation, Moses sent spies to go and survey the land and come and, you know, I mean, confirm that this is the land. The Lord said that is milk and honey. Oh, it is just as the Lord said. No, they came back with an evil report. What do you think it will cause? And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. The sons of Anak. And there we saw the giants. The sons of Anak. Which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, God is the one who has taken you out of Egypt. He has promised you a place that he has prepared for us. Now, you go and confirm it to us. You go and you come and tell us that the land, I don't think it's a good place to go. That's why people don't think about heaven. That's why people don't think about eternity. So that they will confuse us to live our lives right here. And when the time comes, you want to, oh, I didn't believe that there's going to be a life after death. But it is real. If you go to the next verse, you have 34 or 14:1. What did they say? 14:1? Chapter 14, verse 1. If this is the last verse. I think this is the last verse. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. So something that made them leave Egypt with hope. Cross the Red Sea. Something that you have actually signed to for a better future. Now, somebody, a human being, has come to say something against, contrary to the promises of God. Yeah. Let me tell you, that's why when I came to Guyana, I was staying in Virgin Ocean, close to Parika. I was invited to a program. There was a full gospel fellowship. They were having some convention, and the family that hosted me, one of the ladies invited me. He said, Pastor, please, we're having a program in our church. I would like you to come. I said, okay, no problem. That was my first time going to a Guyanese church. So I went there. When I went, the Spirit of the Lord was moving.
So I was late. So I got a seat at the back, and I was observing. And there was a woman on stage. I mean, doing all sorts of things, calling people out, giving them a word, calling people out, laying hands on them. At a point, she pointed at me and said, "You come." I said, "Who? Me? Me coming nowhere." I didn't go. I acted as if I didn't understand what she was saying. So there was a guy standing next to me. He gave me a joke. He said, "You frightened?" I said, No, I'm frightened." It will look as if I disobeyed, I disrespected, I dishonored the woman of God. But I was trying to avoid confusion. I don't know what she was going to tell me, but I rather don't hear. I don't want to hear. I know why I came to Guyana. I came to Guyana to start a church, to plant churches, to train people, and to cause people to be saved. I know when I do that, God will bless me. That's all I need to know. What do you have to tell me? I don't have room for any other version of the land of Canaan that is flowing with milk and honey. I don't have any other version. Like I told you, when I went to visit somebody, when we were in Holland, and the bishop asked us to come, I looked for a Guyanese guy. I went to see him, and I was talking to him about Guyana. We were coming here. The guy said, "If I were you, I would not go to Guyana." The guy discouraged me. When we left the house, my wife was confused. That's why sometimes when the Lord speaks to you, you better don't tell the next person. Even husband and wife, sometimes the Lord will tell you, "Give this amount of money." It is a time where your husband or your wife should not come in to say, "Buy what you think." The Lord said, "We got to give 200,000. What you think? No. Whatever. That's not the time to discuss. It's not a marriage conference. It's a time to obey. Quietly do your thing. Do you know how many husbands and wives who hide their tithe cards from the one another? Because somebody sees the tithe card and says, "Hey! You giving all the money to the church?" As if it is their strength that keeps them alive every day. Sometimes you may have a wife or a husband who is very generous. Please keep quiet. Let them do what they believe in doing. Because you don't know what that is doing for you, even as a husband or as a wife or even as a family. Don't behave like an ignorant person and try and stop your wife or husband when they want to do things for God and things for the church. Yeah. Leave them. Let them do it. Don't come in. Don't come and confuse people. So I didn't go. I was glad. So when the place became a little, I checked out of the church. I went to also another church. I think it was the Pope. Pope Emmanuel was I went to Pope Emmanuel's church many years ago, 2005. Yeah. I was there and he called all the men. Hey, I was in trouble that day. My first day in the church, and he called all the men to the stage. And he called his pastors. He said, "Lay your hands on them and prophesy to them." I said, "Hey, I did not come here for anybody to lay their hands on me." People don't just lay their hands on me. I have a pastor who prays for me. You must watch out that one too. Because people can lay their hands on you and confuse you. Yeah. I had a praise and worship leader who went to visit the church because some God, mother, God, father, God kind of thing. You know how we do this God, 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 uncle, God, brother-in-law, all kind of these God, God things. They use that to kind of pull us. So she went to the church and they had a little christening and all of that. And then the pastor, "Oh, who's here for the first time?" They stood up and he invited them to come to the front. When they went to the front, then the pastor started praying for them. Laid his hands on them. My praise and worship leader, pray. "Demons, all these demons, come out." The girl said, "Hey, babe." So when she came to tell me. I said, you want to follow God, mother, God, child, God, Tom? She said, "But I've been with you all these years. That's not how you treat me. You've never..." "I come to your church the first time, and then you're embarrassing me in front of the church. You're casting out devils." I said, "You see, you like moving about. Because you're in a church where your pastor has not told you you have a demon. Now you go and visit another church, and the pastor says you have a demon." Hey. Just the other day, it happened also. A lady used to come to our church, and she left. She's a lady who likes eating about. This dangalism type of activities. Dangalistic. Dangalism. It's a word. Kind of thing. It's a type. She left the church and went to some other church. Then the pastor told her that there's a spirit that follows her all around. So then she came back to our church. He said, Reverend, can I see you? I said, no problem. You see, I will see you. Anytime you want to see me, I'll see you. It's not a problem. She came and she said, this is what the pastor told her. And what do I think? I said, I've not seen anybody following you. It's only your shadow that I see sometimes. I cannot tell you something God has not revealed to me. So if you are here all this time, you're in the church, you are happy, and there's not a problem, you go somewhere and they tell you somebody is following you, why don't you allow the person to drive the person away? The person who discovered the jombi, let them drive the jombi away. You chase the jombi. Don't go and let a doctor mess you up. Then you come to me and you say, this is my problem. I didn't diagnose you with that. Confusion. And many people, that's what the devil does. He uses that to confuse pastors. Pastors who even don't know what they are doing. A pastor, whether he's a politician or a pastor, you don't know. In the Monday to Friday, he's with politics. Sunday, he comes there to stand. Now, Guyana is a place where a pastor cannot openly serve in politics. Because Guyana is very, very polarized. A lot of division. Blacks, Indians, all kinds of things. So when you're a pastor, you represent only one person and it's God. And that has to be clear. Don't confuse the people. Don't confuse the people. Don't come and say, oh, Christians must be in politics so that we can teach them what to do. Let the politicians do whatever they want to do. Let the pastors do whatever they also need to do. Don't confuse people to go into something. So, yes, I'm a pastor, but no. Be clear in your stand who you are. So those of you baptized, it's a very important thing you did. Not because you are perfect or anything, but you are declaring your stand, Evander, that now I am a Christian. I am not perfect. I am not complete. But I believe in Jesus Christ as the only Son of God. Somebody stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To never be anything that brings confusion. Know that it's not from the devil. It's not from God. The Bible says God is the author of peace. There's a young man who was single. And three ladies came to him and said, the Lord says, I should marry you. Three ladies. Michelle Fabik. Three ladies go to a young man and say, I had a dream. The Lord spoke to me that you should marry me. So you have three girls right there. They said the Lord said you should marry them. Is it the Lord? Three? Meanwhile, you yourself, you have not even started thinking about any of them. They are trying to kill you. Confusion. Yeah, it's dangalistic. It's a dangalism. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Holy and anointed one.
Holy and anointed one. Jesus.
Let's sing one more time. Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus.
Your name.
like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
risen and exalted one,
risen and exalted.
Like honey,
your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. So Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Father, this morning, thank you for speaking to us. Confusion is dispelled. Now, Lord, we know that anytime we are at a point where we are confused, it means that darkness, it means that Satan is fully present in that time of our lives. Help us in the times when we don't see things clear, that your light will shine and that there will be clarity. Let none of us experience the attack that comes with confusion. Even when it comes, oh God, I pray that your people will have control and break through and move forward in clarity and in the peace of mind. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us this morning. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this morning, you are not saved, you are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Just your right hand up high, every eye closed, every head bowed. Pastor, please, I want to be born again. Why don't you lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. I'm not saying if I die right now, Pastor, I'm not sure whether I will go to heaven or hell. Make sure you don't go to hell. Make a decision today. Pastor, please pray with me. You are here like that, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Your right hand up high, your right hand up high. Your right hand up. God bless you. Lift up your right hand if you want me to pray with you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I see some young men lifted up their hands. Come to me. I want to pray with you. Come. Clap for them as they come. Some young boys.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me
come.
Down.
Oh, clap for them as they come. Clap for them.
Rid me of
young boys. Come, sir. Gentlemen, come. Oh, clap for them. Are you not excited? Huh? Wow. Yeah, hey, you on the stage. Okay, no problem. God bless you. Wow.
Lead me to the cross.
God bless you, sir.
Where your love wow.
God bless you. All right.
Bring me to my knees.
What's your name?
Lord, I lay me down.
Alifa, Alifa Austin, God bless you. How old are you? You are 13. Wow. You got your swag on, by. Wow. And you? Ricardo Stanton, how old are you? You are 12. Man. And you are? Carlos Born. And you are how old? You are 12 years old. Man. You see, I was in San Fernando for a convention Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I was preaching to them about how small things get big and how little things get greater. The Bible says in Isaiah 60, verse 22, that a small shall become a thousand, a little shall become a nation. Now, then the pastor of this church in San Fernando, who is 23 years old now, he went to Bible school in Ghana, Pastor Kieron McKenzie. In our interactions during the day, he said, when Lighthouse started in Trinidad, he was only 10 years old when he joined the church. don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. The Lighthouse started in Trinidad and Tobago. He was a little 10-year-old boy who his mother took him to church. And 13 years now, he's a pastor of a church in San Fernando, southern part of Trinidad and Tobago. So when you see Alepha with his swag on, with his gold chain around his neck, and with his red boots, and you are Ricardo with his polo shirt, with Ralph Lauren, look at the horse and the rider there, with his tablet, cracked, broken tablet. Man, and you are Carlos. Man, you think this is what God wants. If God can affect them at this age, when they get to 18, 19, you will see how they'll become. I tell you. Yeah. Alepha, Carlos, Ricardo, you are very, very special. Okay? You are special too. Don't feel left out, okay? If you close your eyes, let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. Thank you, Father, that from today, I've been saved from hell. I am born again, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.